You're listening to the Unstoppable Business Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Lee. Jeff, thank you so much for hopping on the podcast today.
My pleasure. My pleasure, Brian. Thanks for the invitation.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure, man. So I guess when people ask you, what do you do? How do you answer that?
I help entrepreneurs create success, stability, and free time while generating more sales and leads than ever before.
Wow, that's pretty awesome. Did you say that to your like next door neighbor?
No. When it comes to like, if you're talking about in a social situation,
yeah,
I just try and avoid all talk of all things, period. I'm just not that social of a guy.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. So, Jeff, I guess when you're talking about that, what's the number one problem that you think you're solving in the marketplace right now?
The number one problem is generating sales and leads. That is the number one problem of all businesses, actually. If you look at the data from like the Small Business Administration or numerous other agencies here, at least in the United States, they go out of business due to a lack of money. And so that would be the most important thing for me to help someone address.
Okay, gotcha. Okay. So I guess, Jeff, take us back to the day when it all began for you. Like, what inspired you to start on this journey, you know, for you to develop your expertise in this area?
You know, I would say I don't know exactly when it was, but I will tell you that I was very, very young. I mean, when you talk about like exactly when it started, it's like, you know, when I was a kid, I never had like ambitions to like be a fireman, which, by the way, I come from a family of firefighters. I always wanted to do my own thing. I wanted to make my own way and carve my own way out from the time I was very, very young. I'm talking elementary school.
And Jeff, when did that inspiration start, like for specifically online mediums?
You know, it really started as soon as the online thing started happening. I'm a little bit older, I think, than a lot of your other guests. So I remember going back, I have to go back, maybe 24 years ago or so, maybe a little bit longer, 26 years ago, getting, when this is before, obviously, like the internet as we know it, when we just had bulletin boards and stuff like that, I was getting online and, experiencing the thrill of like basically typing to somebody in another state, right? There was this other stuff. So as the internet evolved, I just, I loved it. It was absolutely amazing. I mean, it's such a wonderful way to communicate and to reach people. And it's obviously remarkable. So as that begun, back in the olden days, you'd have like, you really couldn't buy domain names at that time initially. So you would have like a URL that would be like your internet company. So, it'd be like your internet company name /7586 tilde 4246. It'd be 72 digits, and boy, then it got really exciting when you could start to buy your own URL from Network Solutions, which back in those days I think was about $80 a year. So it's been very cool to see how it all has evolved and grown
Gotcha. Okay. So before that time, when you made the jump, before the time you made the jump to online, where were you exactly?
So I was running a business with my wife. I was an entertainer. We would travel around the United States performing, and I was pretty successful. I was very successful with it, and people started to ask me for help and what I was doing and how I was doing it. So that ultimately inspired a info product business for that niche. And led to me training people around the world and creating lots of products and training courses and mentoring people. And when we had our son, we knew we would be getting off the road. If you're familiar with entertainers, most of them are not able to keep a relationship. Me and my wife traveled together. And the plan was always to kind of do that first. And then once we started to have any children, to segue. So that point in time, 15 years ago, is when I started to focus more online and got off the road.
Okay. Was there something compelling about the online world that you couldn't do in the physical world?
Yeah, there is. I mean, in the online world, you are able to reach so many more people. And there's so many different vehicles, and there's so many different ways you're able to help so many more people. Not everybody can say, for instance, drop everything and come travel halfway around the world to study with someone. But pretty much almost everybody's got internet access now, and they are able to, sit at home, and learn what you know. Build their knowledge, build their skills so they can do what they want to do and grow either personally or professionally.
Gotcha. And Jeff, when did you start focusing more on webinars?
So, I started focusing on webinars. It was a kind of a natural growth, right? As an entertainer, I mean, the performance, the presentation. So I was doing a ton of webinars in that niche business that we were just talking about. And I also was always an unbelievable fan of automation. I mean, automation is so important. I think it's really the key to having a life. And so I was doing all these webinars, and so this would be back, I guess, in early to mid 90s. And I was doing all these webinars, and I thought, well, I'm going to automate this. And so I went out to, I went to the service I was using at the time, which was GoToMeeting, and they didn't have automation. And then I went and figured, okay, well, I'm going to have to change companies. And lo and behold, you know what, Brian? There was not one company that automated webinars. And I was like, this is crazy. So I thought, well, I'm not a technical person in any way. But I thought, well, this will be easy. I can find someone to make it, and then, that'll be that. But that actually took me multiple years. I couldn't find anybody that could make it, the way I wanted it. Ultimately I did, and so they made it for me. I was using it, and then some other marketers started to see what I was doing and said, "Hey, can I use that system of yours?" And my wife, who's the smart one in the family, said, "You should take some money from them and let them use it." And so that ultimately then led to a partnership with the other co-founder, Chris Frolic, and March 10th, 2010, Stealth Seminar was released,
What a
which,
story.
Yeah, I mean it's been an amazing ride. I would have never guessed how successful this is. You know, at this point in time, there's last time I looked, there was over 30 million webinar attendees. Our clients have done over $1 billion through Stealth Seminar. It's just remarkable. For a lot of our customers, it is, the biggest component in their business that generates sales and generates leads.
For someone who's looking to do webinars, what do you recommend is like the number one most crucial thing for them to do on a webinar?
Think the number one thing that you should do is go to automatedwebinarschool.com. It's completely free. And what that will do is take you through a training that will actually teach you how to plan a successful webinar, how to record a successful webinar, and how to promote a successful webinar. It's got slides there, it's got plug and play templates, it's got everything you need, and it's completely free. So that's the first thing I would do. I would
Okay.
just go through that little process right there. Now, if you told me, "Oh, Jeff, they're on the moon and they can't do that. They don't have internet. They can only hear my voice." The number one thing is to develop a relationship with your webinar attendees. That's the number one thing.
Gotcha. And I guess when you were building that business, Stealth Seminars, and eventually Webinar Prosperity Blueprint, if you can go back right now and teach yourself one skill at that younger age, what skill would that be?
That skill would be to protect the intellectual property that was created. So what
Okay.
I mean by that is, Stealth Seminar is really responsible for most of the best practices in the automated webinar business now. And had we legally protected that, then we would have been the only ones that could do it, or it would have at least added more value to us as a company because we would have that legal protection in place. I know that
Gotcha.
doesn't apply to many of your listeners, but if your listeners are out there now and they're creating intellectual property, what I would do is, and I'm not talking about, I'm talking really more software related stuff now than anything. But, I would always make sure they're protecting whatever they can.
Gotcha. Okay. So, Jeff, when did that evolve into a course for you?
So, I had so much experience in the mid 90s doing webinars and of course doing way over 1,000 presentations live that had a lot of experience. And so it was kind of a natural outgrowth. And then what started to happen is that when Stealth Seminar was released, there was a number of people that were really struggling creating webinars. There still are. There's still a large number of people that struggle doing webinars because what a lot of people do is they'll maybe see a guru and then they'll try and emulate that guru. Now, what works for the guru, it might not work for you as an individual. And so, having access to that data of all those attendees, I remember, it was about when we had 7 million attendees that I started to analyze all the attendance stats to see what was the highest converting attendance schedule. And that's when I came up with the just-in-time schedule. So the just-in-time schedule is a webinar at the top of the next hour, tomorrow in the AM, the day after in the PM, which is, really well known now. But obviously back then it was brand new. And so, and it was looking at that sort of data that allowed me to then start to pull out all the best practices. And that ultimately led to the course, the training I have on webinars, Webinar Prosperity Blueprint, which is really a training, coaching, live and virtual course that has really been well received.
Awesome, yeah. So Jeff, when you said you ran webinars in the 90s, from my understanding, there was a lot of teleseminars going on at that time, right?
Teleseminars were certainly the bigger thing, yeah, because people had low, had very, they didn't have the bandwidth they have now. In fact, when Still Seminar first started, we were, Still Seminar was doing automated teleseminars as well as webinars.
Okay. So at the
Yeah.
time you were running webinars, right?
Yes, webinars and teleseminars both. But I love, webinars are always much better than teleseminars for people that are comfortable with the visual element because, it adds that additional modality, right?
Right, for sure. So how did those perform in the 90s?
Awesome. They performed amazing.
Because one would think like the bandwidth would probably limit them, right?
Oh, for sure. I mean, there's a lot of people that, couldn't get on and stuff like that. So, now it's wonderful. I wait for the next evolution, which in my head, I have this vision, like it'll be like like you'll be able to zap like your webinar presenter into the room with you, and they'll be
Yeah. Are you an expert or course creator trying to monetize your online course? Well, use our one-page template to get more paying students to your online course without marketing overwhelm or sleazy sales tactics. You can download this for free at unstoppablebusiness.com. Now, back to the show. So Jeff, what are some other innovations that your company came up with that became standardized?
The automated chat, the automated chat is, let's say that you're on a webinar, and let's say, for instance, you're the only person there. If you, it feels a little lonely if you're the only person there. There's not much social proof, right, that this is a successful presenter. So the automated chat is something that you can load into a webinar, so it appears as if there's a number of people there. In addition to that, the faux attendance numbers, we created that. Just in time. Prime insertion point is, let's say that you are attending a webinar and you are late. If I know as a webinar presenter that you're going to convert better if you hear this story at, say, minute seven, the prime insertion point means that I can put you in at minute 6:30 or whatever I choose to, right? And since you're late, you don't know how much of it you've missed. Maybe you're coming in, maybe real time you're coming in straight into the pitch, which obviously is not going to make you convert very high. But by using the prime insertion point, we drop you right into the highest conversion point possible so that you have the most likelihood of converting on that webinar.
Yeah. No, that's very smart. That's great.
So, and it's still a lot of fun. I mean, it's a terrific business. We're always updating. We're always adding to our automated webinar software. In fact, like for instance, two of the things that we just added are built-in Facebook reminders for your webinars. In addition to that, we just built in personalized images, so our clients can say put a picture in a webinar reminder, and then within that picture, they can dynamically insert text. So let's say that I wanted to do that and send you a reminder. What I could do is in your reminder, you could see me holding up a, let's say, a pad of paper, and it could say, I look forward to seeing you on the webinar, Brian. And of course, that's all automated. It dynamically inserts that. So all that kind of stuff that you can do, which is going to boost attendance, right, is going to increase your business. It's going to increase the impact you have in the world. So very cool stuff.
That's cool. Jeff, is there anything in the software that increases show up rate?
Well, the just-in-time is going to be your highest, attendee schedule for any cold traffic. The other thing we have that will increase attendance rates is built-in SMS reminders. These things we're talking about, by the way, built-in SMS reminder, built-in Facebook reminder, built-in. When I say built-in, that means no additional cost, no third-party software, built-in dynamic images are all, those are all exclusive to StealthSeminar. No one else offers that. And so by utilizing all that, as obviously as well as email reminders, that will definitely have a significant impact on your show up rate.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's great stuff. Yeah. So, Jeff, what kind of projects are you working on right now? Because it seems like, you're constantly improving Stealth Seminar, and then you have your online course. Like, is there something else that you're working on right now?
That keeps me plenty busy for business. What I'm also always working on is boxing, because I'm a
Oh, really?
boxing fiend. I love boxing. And I am an official with USA Boxing. And then in addition to that, I'm also a big fan of boxing, and I box personally. And so I'm always working on boxing. My next tournament, I also compete around the country. My next tournament will be in Nevada in March. So I'm working hard on that so I can win that and
Awesome.
add more belts.
That's cool. So, Jeff, do you have a vision for the business? Like, do you have like a 5 to 10 year business vision?
So within that time, we will look to sell StealthSeminar, and then spend even more time boxing, and probably spend more time in the Caribbean. We'd love to go down to the Caribbean, go to the Virgin Islands for vacation, and so we'd probably start to spend more time down there.
That's great. So I guess I'm kind of curious, like what kind of things has your businesses allowed you to do in terms of your personal life?
In terms of my personal life, boy, it's, I mean, for me, you really can't, there's no way to separate personal and business. It, for me, they're interrelated. Like right now, we're doing this, and I have the freedom, I have the flexibility to do whatever I want with my schedule. Just before this, I was at the boxing gym, and that's due to the freedom of my own
That's
schedule.
great.
It allows me to have really incredible relationships with people around the world. It gives me much greater gratification than, say, having a job. And this is not to put down anybody that has a job. Because you know, in the past, I've had I haven't been a good employee, but you know, before I got everything dialed in, you know, I would work occasionally a regular job. Just a terrible employee, Brian.
Really?
Terrible employee.
How
But
so?
you know, how so? I don't like authority, you know, I don't like petty rules, I don't like meaningless stuff. You know, the worst job I ever, do you want to hear about the worst job I ever had?
Go for it, yeah.
So when I was an entertainer, what would happen, and this isn't just specific to entertainment, but this is really for any business. You know, what happens is until you get things down, until you kind of get hold of your business, you know, it'd be kind of like feast and famine. And so what would happen is I'd get all this business in, right? And I'd be like, oh, I'm going to be rich forever. And then you kind of quit working, right? And then all of a sudden the money goes away and then you're like in an emergency situation. So I had to go get a job. And the
Right.
job I got, I don't know if you remember a show called Married with Children. Do you
That
remember
sounds
that show?
familiar.
So anyhow, it had an actor named Ed O'Neill. It was quite a while ago. And Ed O'Neill, he worked in a shoe store. And so I actually went and got a job at a company at a store in the mall called Leeds. And it was a woman's shoe store. So
Right.
at the time, Married with Children, you know, had just quit, had just gone off the air. But I really felt like that guy because here I am, like, I'm working in this woman's shoe store and I'm like putting shoes on like all these stinky feet, you know, and I'm just like, oh, this just sucks.
Yeah.
You know, it
Wow.
just sucked.
That's
So,
horrible.
So having my own business, wow, you know, it's so much more gratifying for me than, you know, working within the confines of rules and within the confines of job descriptions and also within the confines of, you know, somebody else dictating what I'm going to earn. I want to dictate what I'm going to earn, and I don't want what I earn to be in relationship to, you know, how long I've been on a job or what position. I want it to be based on what value I bring to the table.
Right. Yeah, that's great. It seems like you found your path.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, do you have any closing thoughts, like anything else you want to say to our audience out there listening?
You know, if people are thinking, if they're wondering about business, or if they're currently struggling with business, you know, the best thing I would do is just tell them, you know, to make sure that they, you know, work as hard as they can at it. Because at some point in time, what's going to happen is once they figure out really how to do business, what they're going to find is that it's going to get remarkably easy. I mean, it's so basic. You know, I mean, as long as you know, it's as simple as, you know, finding the product or service and finding the market and finding where you have a passion. I mean, and where those three things intersect is where you'll find success.